After the meeting tonight, I'm going to ask everybody who does not fellowship here in Goleta on a more or less permanent basis, if you'll go outside and sing for about 3 minutes, and we're going to join you. We're going to cough a little bit, if you don't mind, after the meeting. And then we'll join you, and we'll just go out there and sing to the Lord a minute. All right, 113. I'll start with 12. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it was being caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And his right hand he held 7 stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining in its strength. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't pay too much attention to the details. Get the impression a man is trying to explain something he saw. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a man dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Don't be afraid. I am the first, the last, the living one. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades." Praise the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians 15. In that passage, we saw the Lord Jesus Christ described. I'm not too, does not fit with it, but I'll read it. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all. And all that is in all is Christ. All that is in you is Christ. And he is in you all, and all that you are is Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read verses 21 through 28. For since by a man death came, and by a man also came the resurrection of the dead, which we know. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all are going to be made alive. But each in his own order, who is the first to rise from the grave? Christ. And after that, those who are Christ at his coming. Praise the Lord. After that comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says, "All things are put in subjection," it is evident that he is expected, except there is an exception, of those who Now, how can I read that? A little bit clear. All things are put in subjection to Jesus Christ,
but it is obvious there's one exception to that, of him who puts all things in subjection to him. In other words, there's one thing that will not be in subjection to Christ. Who is it? God. And then all things are subject to him.
And then the Son himself will turn around and also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to Christ. And in that moment, God will be all in all. Hudbury?
Well, this is what I would go into prayer.
That there was nothing but God, and he started writing his autobiography the other night for us. And he told us that he became, that he created the universe. And then he became something, altering himself greatly. He became a tree. Can you hear me in the back there? And then later, he became many things in the Old Testament. Then in the New Testament, God became a man.
And after he became a man and lived his life in a man, he said, I'm going to do it again in you. Brothers and sisters, I would like to exhort you to let the Lord's life live in you. I'm not saying to let Jesus Christ live so others may see in you. No, I say, brothers, that God lived his life out in a human form. God can live his life out in you. Dean, you never did get practical this week, not one. Not one time. You know, I just decided this week I wasn't going to be practical.
I was just going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ.
I just want you to know that Jesus Christ can become practical to you. How, Gene? Well, I can give you answers to that, but I want you to know that he lived in you. If you'll get up in the tomorrow morning and start exploring the Lord Jesus Christ you have, you'll make some discovery. And get with some brothers and sisters and make some more. Brother Ed and Mr. Alice and I got up Tuesday morning to go. You just ought to know what it's like to sit down with somebody like Ed and Alice and just share the Lord a little bit. I'll tell you, when you're at age, it's different than when you're 21. And that's the way it ought to be. Find somebody to explore the Lord with. You'll find out how the Lord can live his life out in you.
Okay, now then, after the Lord had lived his life out successfully in a man, God said, I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to allow him the loss of all things. He's going to suffer the loss of
everything. I'm going to take him to the cross. And living by the Lord's life always leads you to a bloody ordeal, a crucifixion. And don't you forget that when it happens to you. Gene Edwards warned you in the latter part of August 1972. That you're going to end up on a cross. And you're not going to know where the Lord's going to resurrect you or not. And you're going to suffer the loss of everything. And Jesus Christ went to the cross and died and took creation with him. And he suffered the loss of even his kingdom. And the Lord said, I'm going to do it again in a people. And he's going to do it in a. He's going to take us to a cross. He's going to do it again. Now, brother, he did it so that he might raise him from the grave, much more triumphant and far greater than he ever was, even in his life on this earth. We must believe the Lord resurrects us from the dead. And I am not talking about some future event when the Lord comes.
Brothers, I want you to know that 2 months from now, there are going to be things that may be thrown at you that are going to fall far, far below your feet. Because you have not run with foot soldiers. You have run with horses. You've been promoted. You are no longer children.
tossed about by every wind of doctrine. You have sailed the stormy sea. No longer children. Well, after that, he raised them from the grave, and in the autobiography of God, God has got to say, I was once God, but now I am even greater than God. I am God who has died and risen again. I have taken my greatest enemy and put him down, and now I'm going to do it again. And brothers, I give you this guarantee, the Lord will raise you up. I'm going to live, if by the Lord's mercy I'm going to live. I'm going to live to see common people, faces in the crowd nobody would have ever bet 2 cents on, to become men who the world will say they have been with Jesus. Because they have died and risen again. Now, the Lord also ascended and led captivity captive, and God received Christ and allowed the gifts that were Christ, which he placed in Christ, the gift that God put in Christ as a human being, he received that gift back into the Father. And then the Father said, the gift that I have given you and I have received back, I am going to give them again. And brother, the Lord is going to give the gift again. The gift of apostleship the Father gave the Son, he will now give that same gift to other men. The gift of teaching and prophecy for the edification and the building up of the church, he will now give to more men. God gave it all to Christ that Christ might build the church. Then he received the Lord Jesus back and said, you've done a marvelous job. I'm going to take your gifts now and give them again for the building up of the church. Well, don't just sit there. Boy, listen, that's important for you. We are going to see gifts given and the house built. By the way, just in passing, I can make a statement tonight based on experience that is probably pretty close to accurate. I will start it off by saying I do not know where on this earth, at any time, anywhere. And then I'm going to drop that and say, brothers, there's not a place on this earth that I know of, that you could have heard men 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24 get up and say what has been said tonight. I mean that. Not a spot on this planet. I'm betting on 21-year-old men living by the Lord Jesus Christ and 24-year-old men living by the Lord Jesus Christ and everybody in the train. I'm betting on them for 33. I believe they're going to be worthy ministers ministering the Lord Jesus Christ. And but hey, I don't mean to pick on you. I just say most of you are in your 20s. I think Phil Warman and Gene Edwards and Phil Needle. No, wait a minute, I don't mean to say that. Phil Warman and Phil Needs, the only two people present in the threes that I know of from Goleta. Is there anybody else? Is there a third one back there somewhere? In his 30? And then there are in Goleta in their 40s. In their 40s, how many of us are there here tonight? Brother, you realize that you're going to bury Fran and me first? Well, yeah, all right. So, Frank, if we go first, it's going to be a rootin' tootin' funeral, though. Perhaps. There's a good chance it may never happen. All right, brother. You know, I mentioned just a little bit last night, the Lord also descended.
And then he ascended to the Father and was enthroned to rule over the universe. And a man ruled the universe. And God said, I am no longer God, but now I am altered. I am a man. Are you aware, my brothers, that the last form that God will ever be seen in is the form of a man? And that man sits on the throne of the universe. And God said, I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to have men. Someone said, I feel collect out. And women? Any women? Sisters in the resurrection, they're not any difference. I don't know how to say things in English language with no gender. I am going to do it again with men. For men shall rule on thrones with me, and they will rule the earth. I, for one, have volunteered. In my arrogance and in my conceit, I have volunteered to be made a king. I may not make it, but I'm volunteering to be made a king. And I want you to know I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can't say that for everybody, and Paul spoke it very personally, but he spoke it for himself. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to take that which I have committed to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. All right, brother, he's going to enthrone. Now, God is about to finish his autobiography. There is something even beyond throneship, and that is the glorification of Jesus Christ. I don't know where to put the glorification because I do not know when it came into full orbs. It did not come into full orb while he was on earth. If Jesus Christ had been seen in his glory when he went through those walls and talked to Peter and Thomas and the others, they could not have stood it. He ascended into the heavens. I assume that my Lord was glorified when the gate opened to heaven. I just don't know. But I'm going to talk about it for just a moment. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ was glorified. And God gave him a totally transfigured, translated body. And I read to you a moment ago a picture of one man trying to describe what the Lord Jesus Christ was like. And there is no way that my brother John could explain it. His head and his hair were like white wool. It was like snow. And when I looked at his eyes, why, his eyes burned like fire, and even his feet looked like bronze in a furnace. His voice sounded like many roaring waters. And in his right hand, he held seven stars. And when he spoke, I guess he meant here, his voice cut like a sword. And his face looked just exactly like the sun. When you look at it in the noon there, that was the sight to behold. And that is the Christ when God had finished glorifying him. That's what he looked like. Glorious beyond description. Now, brothers, right now, Jesus Christ has given you a spirit that is perfect and sinless. It cannot be touched. He is taking your soul and transforming it into the nature of Jesus Christ. But you're stuck with the biggest mess you ever saw in the way of a body. And upon this earth, you're going to have it for the rest of the time. And it's going to be a bother to you till the end. Jesus Christ lived in a body that looked like fallen flesh, that appeared to be fallen flesh. But when he went to the Father, resurrected, I guess in the twinkling of an eye, the Father gave him a totally glorified body. And this was one man's meager effort to try to describe what Jesus Christ looked like in his glory. Glorious beyond words, until one human being fell down. He did not fall down praising.
He did not fall down singing. He did not fall down shouting. He could not stand what he saw. The human body could not stand to behold the glorified cross. He couldn't even praise him. Brother, to praise that Lord is going to demand a new body. He fell down at the feet of his Lord as one dead. What a cry have I. God glorified him beyond the ability of a man to describe. And when God got through doing it, guess what he said? I'm going to do it again. And that is your hope.
You go back to Memphis, it's your hope that you're going to be made like Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that glory? Isn't that fantastic? You ain't heard nothing. Well, there is something greater than that. And I didn't even read it. I'm not going to go into it. But I finished.
That somewhere in eternity, you and I, having received a glorified body and standing perfect before him, as glorious and as marvelous as he is, we are going to be melted into one great, glorious, wonderful being.
Now, boy, hold on to your chairs, because you're about to hear the most incredible statement ever uttered from human lit. I say that without hesitation. And we are going to be made into the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We are going to become the wife of the Lord. And then the Lord is going to marry us. And as the sisters set up on the mountain, we're going to be
Mrs. God.
Isn't that great? Isn't that glorious? Isn't that marvelous? You ain't heard nothing yet. Then in that marriage, there will be consummation. And the two will have become one. And the bride will be one with the groom. And there's not going to be anything left but Jesus Christ, who is all there is in all. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to turn around. He being everything there is in the universe, having filled the universe up to the brim with nothing but Christ, he is going to turn and go into the Father. And God shall have been so greatly in love. And God shall be all that is left. And he shall be all in And you and I are going to be lost in God forever. Praise the living God. Is that glowing? Is that wonderful? Is that marvelous? You ain't heard nothing. Now I'm going to tell you the most incredible thought in all time and eternity. In that moment, Bill Needles and Dean Edwards and all the rest of us are going to be put into God, and we shall be in it, and we shall be one with him
And I mean that oneness shall be so total that we shall have no longer been bound by time, but all eternity that is before shall have been ours, and will be ours, and our of time will be utterly comprehended by us, for we shall be part of God. But that is not all. All of the eternal past experience that God has been as God will now become ours. And perhaps God one day will sit down and say, I will write my autobiography from one end of eternity to the other. And he can call on Phil Needles to write it all, for Phil Needles will have known it all and experienced it all.
Praise God. That is mine.
What can I pay you?